Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. That's how you get it. But we'll get back into the whole conversation about who really is more frustrating right now. Is it the Sixers, the way they've played first two games in the bubble, or is it the Phillies here who, you know, all offseason long, we sat here and we said, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. And then they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to solve their problem in the bullpen. So we'll get back to all that conversation and tough guys in sports. We're going to chat here with Elliot Shore Parks of 94WIP.com, the Go Birds podcast, about the Eagles, who obviously are in the first phase, or they're moving into a second phase of training camp. No Doug Peterson as he tries to work his way back and get, you know, clear to come back after testing positive for COVID-19. Everything we heard yesterday from Doug was encouraging, as he seems to be totally asymptomatic and feeling fine, which means it's a matter of time until he gets himself, you know, clear and he can come back and coach the Eagles. But it's the first kind of wake-up call here in the NFL summer that this is going to happen. This is going to happen to significant names, whether it be head coaches, whether it be quarterbacks. I saw that Minshew was put on the COVID-19 list. He was subsequently removed so he could practice. Same thing with Matthew Stafford, who I guess had himself a false positive in Detroit. So the Lions quarterback was put on the COVID-19 list. Well, I mean, this is going to be a daily thing. It's life of the NFL now as they try to come back in the middle of a pandemic and stage a training camp and stage something close to a preseason. So, look, this is the new baseball, I think, had it easy when it came to a summer camp. I think it's easy to stage that part of this thing. Football's way different. Football is a different animal when it comes to summer camp and it comes to training camp and it comes trying to get a football team ready for a season. Like baseball, you just got to get the pitchers, you know, their arms loosened up and you can go play games. Football's, you got to install an offense. You have to put a defense in. Like there's a lot that goes into training camp, as we know, every year. And the Eagles have to figure out how to do that right now without their coach. And then most especially, you know, by distancing themselves for most of this month, August. It's not going to be easy. Let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks about all things Eagles. Elliot, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, Joe. Doing good. And I know there's a lot of important football stuff to talk about. But before we get into that, there is something I wanted to bring up prior to our football discussion.
Let's hear. What do you got?
So your producer over there, Tucker, tweeted this week that he drinks 3 gallons of milk a week. Has this been addressed? Or I need to know.
Yeah, so it hasn't been, that specific tweet hasn't been addressed on the air. We can start doing this right now. We have spoken, him and I, about his, like, I wasn't surprised, I'll put it this way. I mean, I see the guy when he's here before a show or during a show, and usually, it's funny, I eat dinner before the show every night because, you know, I'm on from 6 to 10, so I'll eat my dinner. Tucker doesn't usually eat dinner, but if he does, milk tends to be involved. Whether it's there's always milk here. The guy buys a gallon of milk and brings it to the studio.
So he packs milk like and brings it into the studio from home.
Yes. Yeah, I would buy like a quart from Wawa on my way here.
Yeah, he brings milk.
Oh, just plain milk.
Yeah, 2%.
Oh, Tucker, honestly, if you told me you drank 3 glasses of milk a week, I would find
that. No, I mean, it's the best drink for a meal. Like when I drink milk, it cleanses your palate better than any other drink out there.
But it's for children.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Also, it's not better than water. Water cleanses your palate better than anything else, and it's a far superior drink to milk. It's just very disappointing.
Yeah, it's. I'm not shocked. I've seen the guy in action. Before we get to the Eagle stuff, you're right, Elliot. This is more important. Tucker, can you give us – because even when I saw your tweet last night, I couldn't get my mind around how you actually drink that much milk. Like, if you ask me, like, how are you consuming the milk? I would guess a cup here?
I just drink it right out of the jug.
You just drink milk like everyone else drinks water?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not even in cereal or something.
No. I drink it right out of the jug. Like, I have a jug of milk in the fridge. When I go home and I eat my dinner tonight, I'll pull it out and I'll drink some.
Elliot, how many gallons or glasses of milk do you drink a week?
I probably haven't had a complete glass of milk since maybe when I was less than three. Like, when I was, like, still drinking out of, like, bottles, I guess. I mean, I'm a grown man. I don't drink milk. Like, Tucker, when you go to the grocery store, do you buy 3 gallons of milk every week?
Yeah, I would buy like two or three. People would buy like soda or something.
I don't know the last time I've had a glass of milk. I'm being honest with everyone here. I don't know the last time I actually sat down and had a glass of milk. Now, I eat cereal like every day, but I use almond milk. I don't even use regular cow's milk anymore. So it's got to be a few years since I had regular milk in cereal. But a glass of milk? I haven't done it in, Elliot, maybe I was 8 or 9, but like it's been decades.
If you told me you drank a glass of chocolate milk every week, I would find that acceptable. Chocolate milk is very good.
It is.
I could see that. But like multiple glasses of plain milk, Tucker, I can't believe you just tweeted this just nonchalantly as if it was not going to be a big deal for everybody that knows you.
You know the amazing thing? So I have a son that's 5 and I have a daughter that's 3. They drink milk. I buy in my house for them 1 gallon of milk per week for 2 children that were growing like exponentially by the week. Tucker's not growing exponentially by the week. He's the same size.
Not anymore.
At his age, I would hope not. You know, I mean, I think at this point, Tucker, you're not growing anymore. It's just a very weird.
No, but you should see my bone density. It's out of this world.
Do you know that, or is that just you hope?
I sure hope so.
Yeah, you better have some strong bones after all that milk. All right, now that we have, I don't know if we've solved this, but we certainly, I'm glad the audience now knows what's going on here with Tucker behind the glass. Elliot, we have some football. We talked yesterday when I was with John about everything going on with Doug, but the NFL did change some rules today, did tweak some things, and it could impact the Eagles here. So tell us what you wrote and what the changes are that the NFL made for training camp here.
Yeah, so these are rules the NFL put into place, obviously, to prepare for the likely COVID test that each team is going to deal with. So the two changes are, and the first one is the roster sizes for the practice squad have moved up to 16 players. So not only have they been increased from, I believe it was 12 last year to 16, 6 of those players now can be veterans. So there's no more restrictions. You can put anybody you want on practice squad. When the Eagles make final cuts, the players have to go through waivers, but then they can add any of the players they release onto practice squad. And obviously we know how much practice squad has been important to the Eagles over the last year, especially when they had to dip into the practice squad for cornerbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. So they should have a stronger practice squad this year. And I think that's definitely going to end up helping them. The other rule is in normal years, you can bring 2 players back off of IR. This year, you can bring an unlimited amount back, and they only have to be on IR for 3 weeks as opposed to 8 weeks. So for an Eagles team that's dealt with injuries a lot over the last years, as we all know, these are 2 rules that would have helped them a lot the last 2 years, even without the COVID thing going on. But going into next year, it will allow them to better prepare for issues on their roster.
Elliot, so that's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal for the roster. It's a big deal for what's going on here. And it's certainly a big deal as we look forward to the season and what could be for the Eagles. The other thing that I saw today in terms of changes that could be made or kind of tweaks teams could make, there's a question of if the Eagles would quarantine a quarterback. Doug Peterson was asked about this, and he was vague. He kind of seemed open to the thought process of anything is on the table, but he certainly didn't say we're going to do this. Do you think they should do this? Look, they have 4 quarterbacks they're going to have around. Maybe they'll throw a 5th in there just in case. But let's say they have 4 quarterbacks in camp. We get to the season, they're going to have 3 quarterbacks. Do you see this being a viable thing where they try to keep one guy, whether it's Sudfeld or Hurts, just away from Carson Wentz, strictly because, look, if Carson gets the virus, we don't want him passing it to the guys that have to play if he can't.
Yeah, in the quarterback room, more so than the other rooms on the team, I mean, it's smaller, right? Like, they're closer together, and obviously that'll change this year. But I do believe there is a benefit of quarantining a quarterback, where where I would maybe disagree with you is I would not quarantine Sudfeld or Hurts. I just don't think you can have your backup quarterback be out of the building. If you're going to truly quarantine somebody and get the benefit of, you know, not risking it, he has to be out of the building. He can't be at practice. He can't be at the NovaCare. And I think there's a value to having the fourth quarterback, who Kyle Lauletta, who was with the team last year. He's been with the team all offseason. He'll be with them in training camp. He knows the offense. Like, that's the benefit of having a quarterback in reserve. Clearly, there's probably better quarterbacks on the open market right now than Kyle Lauletta, but he knows the offense. And I think if you kept him as your fourth guy, told him to, you know, stay at home, he can be in all the meetings virtually, then I would do it. But I think Jalen Hurts needs to be in the building, especially this year as he learns an NFL offense. And Sudfeld, if he is truly your backup, he has to be taking reps with guys during the week. So if I were to quarantine one, it would be the fourth quarterback.
Elliot, I think some teams might do this. I mean, I think you might have a couple teams who do exactly what you're suggesting there. Take a quarterback, and maybe that your way makes even more sense. Like a guy that's not really part of things, but at least he would know the offense if it came down to that. I want to throw this at you, Elliot, because there's a lot of doom and gloom is probably not the right word, but there's a lot of worry, I'd say, for non-bubble sports. The bubble sports are doing it fine. Baseball is kind of just plowing through this thing. And now we're going to watch how football prepares for their season and tries to get through it. But when baseball started with problems last week, I think the general refrain was, well, football is screwed now. And my theory is that that's not necessarily the case for a couple reasons. One, there's way less travel. Like, unless you're going across the country, like Eagles, Seahawks or something, I mean, you might be able to travel day of game. You might not be in hotels as much if you're playing a team close enough. And the other thing that I do think is significant is the NFL is already putting in a lot of mechanisms where they'll fine you significant amounts if you break the rules. If you go out to a restaurant, you go to a bar, and everyone in the organization, not just players, is kind of in the same boat. Like, they all have to follow these rules. Meanwhile, baseball was kind of like, yeah, please don't go out of your hotel, but, like, you know, they can't stop anyone, and these guys aren't listening. I just think the NFL, even though the sport itself lends itself to you're on top of each other, you could spread the virus on the field, I don't think they're going to have as hard of a time with travel and all these things away from the field.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on those two points. And I'll also say that I think that the idea that baseball is struggling, it's true. It is to a certain degree. But I think maybe it hits a little closer to home in Philly, just because we've seen the Phillies, you know, obviously had to have the majority of their season postponed so far. But overall, baseball has, I would guess, played 85 to 90% of their scheduled games that would have been played already. They had a team have a complete breakout in the Marlins. And as of now, knock on wood, nobody on the Phillies roster has contracted it. So, yes, baseball has had issues, but I think it's important to point out that they've continued on, right? So you're looking at the outlook for football. I think that there are a lot of positives to take from baseball as well. The other thing I would say is, and this is why I don't think you can truly can compare them, baseball plays almost every day, right? I mean, the Phillies were going to play how many days in a row to start the season? Something like 15 or 16 right. days, if not more. So in football, you're only interacting with one team every 6 days, right? I mean, like, once a week, you're seeing a different team. In baseball, you're seeing two or three teams. So, in theory, an Eagles player could test positive on Monday, and if he's asymptomatic, he could play in the following game. He could not miss any time. Like, so, now, there might be rules put in place to prevent that, but my point more so is that if there is an outbreak, you have time in between the games to prepare for that. It's not as big of a deal as in baseball, where if you miss 2 or 3 days, that's a whole series all of a sudden that's gone. So, look, I do get the panic about it. And, look, it's been disappointing not having Phillies baseball. But I think overall, I don't think what's happened in baseball is an indication that the NFL won't work.
Last one for you, Elliot. I saw on the Around the NFL podcast, Brian Baldinger had said something to the effect that if he had heard that the Eagles might hit during some practices, like actually tackle each other, because they're going to miss that. And I think we talked about how that's going to change the beginning of the season. Like, preseason matters more than people give it credit. And part of it for me is it's the only time these players, with the way the NFL is structured now in training camp, actually hit other players and go to the ground. It sounds like the Eagles, maybe some other teams, might modify training camp and do that. I'm typically anti-tackling to the ground in training camp, because why would you risk injury to your own team for no reason? I think this year it makes sense. Where are you on that?
Yeah, I would agree with you that I'm generally anti-hitting. I mean, I remember when Chip Kelly was here, there was big debate about that, because he was not really into having super physical practices to hopefully prevent injury. I think this year it is a little different, because obviously there's no preseason games. Doug Peterson has talked about trying to find situations in practice this year where he can create game-like atmospheres. And he's done that in the past where he'll have, you know, 11-on-11 drills where the whole team is watching and nobody else is practicing to kind of create the intensity. So I think there are ways to do it. I could see some hitting, but I would just caution, you know, these guys didn't have an off season. You needed a ramp-up period to get ready. Having them hit in a pretty, you know, small, compact time after just getting back to football, I think it's risky. Obviously, it's not ideal to go into week one without hitting, but there's a lot of things about the situation and the preparation for the season that aren't ideal. I would just lean on the side of trying to get these players ready without them, you know, tackling to the ground.
Elliot, I appreciate you hopping on. Thank you for bringing the milk conversation to the table here, which is important that we did. And enjoy your night. Chocolate milk or no chocolate milk tonight?
No chocolate milk tonight. And, you know, Tucker, obviously we love you. We're just trying to help you out. So hopefully this was, you know, a nice intervention for you, you know, going into a new week.
Every once in a while, someone needs a milk intervention. Elliot,
exactly,
we appreciate
right.
it. There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com. So just so we get some, I think we need more people to help us with this, Tucker. So I don't want it to just seem like Elliot and I have one opinion and we're just beating you down on yours, that you think this is okay. So I put the poll up at WIP Evenings about your claim that you drink 3 gallons of milk per week. I can't even say it without laughing. It seems like so much milk. It seems like so much milk.
Not really.
But for me, it does. Like, it just seems like,
I mean,
a
that's
lot
like
of milk.
A quart per meal, pretty much.
Is a give me a
that's 32 ounces. It's like 4 cups.
4 cups of milk per meal?
Yeah, something like that.
What? That's even more than I felt like 5 minutes ago. Anyway.
Someone responded. It said that's 6 cups per day. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, you know, that as someone who had 2 newborns in the last half decade, like, that's how much milk a baby has. Like, that's how much a baby who, again, is growing at a rapid rate, like newborns, need that kind of milk supply to sustain, because they don't eat, they don't have food. Like, you can have food,
yeah,
to fill you up. You choose milk,
and I think milk complements food better than every other drink. I don't think it's even close. Like, Elliot brought up water.
Yeah.
I don't think water does much for you.
Water is what you need to survive. You
know, I guess.
Yeah, I mean that's the truth on that. No, I don't think I've ever had milk with a meal. Like, maybe since I was a very tiny boy. I just, like, even now, like, I drink almond milk, but I don't drink it. I just use it for cereal or smoothies or whatever.
Well, like if you're eating cookies or something, you don't have milk?
No.
Or cake?
You know what? This may sound weird, but we're talking about weird food things. You know what I like to drink with cookies? Beer.
Yeah, that is weird.
Beer, oh man.
I feel like it would make beer more bitter.
It also depends on what kind of beer you're having. I always want cookies when I'm having beer. Anyway, I'm strange too. I'll admit that. 215-592-9494. We got a lot to dive back into here. I am more frustrated right now with the Sixers and the Phillies in my pie chart of frustration. If I drew my pie chart, it would be like 4/5 of it would be full with the Sixers' frustration. Then a fifth would be filled with Phillies' frustration. None of the Flyers. 215-592-9494. What has you most frustrated, the Phillies or the Sixers right now? But along with that, a couple side topics thrown in the mix. Number one, we have tough guys. Because I mentioned earlier, it's 27 years ago today that Nolan Ryan put Robin Ventura in a headlock and basically beat him up on the mound after he charged the mound. So we're talking about tough guys. Like, when you think tough guys in sports, who do you think of? But I do need your opinion on this. As we're going to spend as much as time in the rest of the show as we need to get to the bottom of if I'm being unfair, if Elliot was being unfair to Tucker. I honestly wonder, does anyone else out there drink, like, large quantities of milk? I don't know. Like, I only live in my house, right? I only know that my wife doesn't drink milk. I don't drink milk. My kids, who are 5 and 3, they drink milk. They like milk. They're children. Tucker says he drinks 3 gallons of milk per week. Is he crazy, or is that totally normal? Like, I'm totally in the dark on what's going on with milk these days. But Tucker is a big milk guy. I don't know. Why did you do this? Like, why did you tweet that? How did your revelation come out?
You tweeted something about milk. You tweeted something about how people in their mid-20s don't go out to get milk.
So
I was proving you wrong. Like,
okay.
I do much of the time on this show. I was proving you wrong.
So there was what I now believe to be a fake quote attributed to Derek Jeter. I don't know if Derek Jeter ever said what some people yesterday had said something.
So John Heyman tweeted it out. Apparently Jeter defended Marlins players, said a few left the hotel, but just for milk, coffee, and one case dinner.
Yeah, so I don't know if Jeter actually said those words. Maybe he was just kind of referring to the essentials, and then Heyman was kind of editorializing what he meant. So I joked, like, sure, the Marlins are going out to get milk, right? Like, they're not in bars. They're not at strip clubs. They're going to get milk on the road. Sure, guys. And Tucker chimes in saying, yeah, that's totally normal. I go out and get milk. I'm in my mid-20s. And then you said, you gave your revelation of?
Yeah, I drink roughly 3 gallons of milk per week.
The roughly scares me even more, because that means it might be even more.
Or less. I mean, it depends.
215-592-9494.
All I know is when I get home tonight, and I know there is milk. There's like a gallon and a half in the fridge right now. But if there wasn't, I'd be really upset.
So I'll go home tonight, and I may have a beer, and then I'll pass out because I'm tired. You'll go home and have a milk.
Yeah, like I'll go home, and I'll probably eat something, whether my family has leftover food sitting on the table still, or if I have to make something, yeah, I'll drink milk.
215-592-9494. I think this is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard, that Tucker in his mid-20s drinks 3 gallons of milk per week. I need your take on milk. I'm more frustrated with the Phillies than the Sixers and the Phillies, and a tough guy at sports. 215-592-9494. All your phone calls are coming up on the other side, and Shady McCoy apparently picked the Bucks over the Eagles. We'll hear from Shady on the other side right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you, Tucker Bagley, behind the glass as we separate the milk drinkers from the non-milk drinkers around here. We found out earlier, but we'll get back to all the conversation on the Sixers and the Phillies and frustration mode, that Tucker revealed that he drinks up to 3 gallons of milk per week. Some of our listeners are doing the math on it. It's a significant amount of milk. So I put up a poll at WIP Evenings, whether or not this is totally normal, no big deal, or what's wrong with him. What's wrong with him is winning this poll pretty early on, but it's 78 to 22. Most people think it's a little much.
Let me say, if me drinking 3 gallons of milk is my biggest quirk, then I'm a pretty normal person.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't established that yet, but it's certainly the...
Oh, by far, it's not even close, but you know.
I mean, I hope it is. Otherwise, I don't want to know the other quirks, honestly. 215-592-9494. So along with the tough guys in sports and Sixers and Phillies frustration, let's throw this in the mix. You know what? I'm going to simplify for the audience listening. Are you a big milk drinker still? Like, do you? Because I think that I told Tucker on during the break, and he looked at me like I was at three heads. I told him it's milk isn't what it used to be. Like, the milk industry's changed. I'm not going to get into a rant about dairy here, but I just don't think most people, most adults, drink milk anymore, or maybe ever. But I thought milk was for kids. That's what I thought, and I found out Tucker drinks milk by the gallon, which is jarring to say out loud. Anyway, 215-592-9494, as we talk milk, Sixers, Flyers, Phillies, and some Eagles. But I want to play this for you. Shady McCoy signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Shady, who basically was begging to come back to Philadelphia. I don't know who's begged more to come back to Philadelphia over the years. Has it been Cole Hamels wanting to be a Philly again, or has it been Shady wanting to be an Eagle?
Cole Hamels felt sad.
They both have felt sad. I mean,
Cole Hamels got a real contract. Like, he got $18 million from the Braves.
He did, but he has, every time he's been asked, basically opined and campaigned to come back here, which that won't stop. It's only a one-year deal with the Braves. He'll try to come back here again. But Shady is always, always wanted to come back to Philadelphia. The Eagles have had very little interest in Shady McCoy, and even though they needed a back, the Eagles passed on the idea of Shady McCoy, and I don't think there's much left there, but I do believe the Eagles have, and I've said it all offseason, they could use one more veteran back. All they have behind Miles Sanders, who I do think is poised for an excellent season, but all they have behind Miles Sanders is Boston Scott, who I'm a fan of. I think what we saw last year is closer to reality than fiction. But beyond that, Holyfield's kid or Corey Clement, and you can show me all the videos you want and all the stories about Corey Clement looking good in the offseason. Wonderful. And I was a big fan of his early when he first got here. But Clement hasn't done anything in 2 years. So that's the life of a running back. They rise up, they pop, and then they go away. So I don't have big expectations anymore for Corey Clement. They could use another back without a question. And Shady was out there. Shady was available. And the Eagles chose to pass him. Now, when Shady got to Tampa, he did a Zoom call. Newest member of the Bucs, Shady McCoy, seemed to make it out like the Eagles, you know, had some interest there when I'm not sure how much there was. Here is Shady.
Philly was another big one that I really wanted to explore that option. They reached out. But it just clicked the right time. Enough waiting. Let's do it. Let's get in there with the team. Let's learn the offense, things like that. I mean, come on. I'm in Tampa, nice weather, and I'm playing with Tom Brady. How can you beat that?
Well, it is tough to beat playing with the GOAT. That's for sure. But you know what would have beat it for Shady? Here. He wanted to be here. If the Eagles gave him, I don't even know what the Bucs gave him. I'm sure it was a very small deal. Whatever Tampa gave him, if the Eagles matched it, he'd be here. There's no question in my mind.
No, he wanted to be here. I think he wanted to make amends here. And I think LeSean McCoy strikes me as a guy who's very concerned with his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy who probably is a borderline Hall of Famer at this point, if not already in. He's a guy that I think is worried, or at least is consumed with the idea of what we're going to think about him in 15, 20 years down the line. Him coming back to the Eagles and making it all full circle would probably be best case scenario for him, right? Like, he played really well here. He made some all-pro teams, won a rushing title, but never won a playoff game. If he came back, if he had a sizable role in a playoff run, that would wrap it up nicely for him.
It would. He'd go in the Eagles Hall of Fame. It would cement his career, which would mostly be here in Philadelphia. 215-592-9494. Shady is a Buck, and he did once again there. He's going to kind of say he wanted to be in Philadelphia. Matt's in Cherry Hill talking Sixers. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Joe. What's going on?
How you doing, buddy? What's on your mind tonight?
I'm hanging in there. So, about October, I called into your show talking about the very first Sixers game against the Celtics, and that seemed like a very, very long time ago.
It feels like years ago, but, Matt, to be honest with you. It feels like forever,
exactly.
Yep.
But I'm actually very, very excited for the Sixers, and I told Tucker that I genuinely believe that they are a finals lock this year. And I believe that because, one, every time they play, when they want to play, they always play well. You saw it in the Christmas Day game against the Bucks. You saw it in the three games against the Celtics. Whenever they want to play, they play well, and they beat the other teams. They play great defense, and their offense is starting to come around. They're starting to gel. It might not look like it now, but I think we're going to the finals.
Matt, I wish I had your optimism on this. Here's my concern, and I think there's something to what you're saying. Like, at their best, like, they beat the Lakers here, they beat the Clippers, they beat the Bucks on Christmas. You referenced some of the Celtics games. At their best, they can beat anyone. What I struggle with, Matt, is this teams like this typically don't play in the finals. I think about the history of the NBA. It's 1 and 2 seeds. Like, the best teams during the regular season typically are the ones in the finals. It's rare when you get a team like the Sixers who just kind of flips that switch and they go on that run in the playoffs. Like, they need to do what you say that they can do, and I understand your point, but they need to have that switch flip the whole time in the playoffs. Like, you can't have a down game or two like they tend to have it, you know, every other game.
I mean, yeah, I understand that, but when the lights come on and the lights get bright, they have risen to the occasion every time this year, which is when they want to play well, and you say flipping the switch, at home, they've played well, and they've lost two games at home so far. And I genuinely think we're going to the finals.
Matt, if they go to the finals, I will be so happy to say that I doubted them and that I was wrong. Matt, I love your optimism, and I appreciate the phone call. I'll remember that call. If the Sixers are in the finals, when would that be? Late September?
I have no idea.
I think I think game 7 of the finals would end on October 11th or 12th. I saw that somewhere. So, yeah, if we're talking about the end of September, the baseball playoffs are starting, and the NFL is actually rolling, and the Flyers are in the Stanley Cup final, and the Sixers are in the NBA final, I will sit here and say, you know what? That Matt from Cherry Hill.
Where will the Phillies be at the end of September?
Probably watching from home.
I mean, they'll still be playing through the end of September.
Well,
right?
Yeah, the season's supposed to end September 27th. September 30th, last day of September.
Yes.
Let me throw this out right now. Let's play a quick guessing game before we go to the milk line here and see what people say. Quick guessing game. September 30th, the Phillies are they still playing baseball?
No.
Yeah, I would say no.
Oh, goodness, no.
Are the Sixers still playing basketball? No. What are you thinking about? It's a no. They got torched by TJs. A team with three TJs. September 30th, the finals are going on. You understand that?
Yeah, but I don't think they'll have to go through Indiana. I think they're trying to avoid Indiana.
Oh, sure, that's it. Okay, so the Sixers will not be playing. The Flyers very well could be playing. I have confidence levels in any team here. It's obviously the Flyers are number one. The Eagles will. I will say, how many games do they play by September 30th? Three? I believe the season starts on the 10th or 13th for the Eagles. They play Washington, Los Angeles, and then against the Bengals, right?
Yes.
I think the Eagles will be, I will say 2-1. I'm a little shaky.
I would say they're closer to 3-0, 1-2.
I'm not sure about that. I'm nervous about this.
Do you see that Will Parks hype video I sent you?
Yeah,
today?
I saw the Will Parks.
I mean,
Parks
are you kidding me?
Yeah, the Will Parks hype video.
He was holding up the football like it's a phone,
that's
Joe.
That's wonderful. That Will Parks on social media, you think the next Malcolm is here. And I actually think Will Parks could play a little bit, but we'll see. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to the Milk Hotline here and figure out what the people think. Tucker says he drinks 3 gallons of milk per week, and I just
I like how you emphasize gallon.
Yeah, I'm just taken aback by all this. But maybe I'm the crazy one. Maybe milk is still in for adults. I don't know. Tom's in Marlton. Tom, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good, Tom. What do you think about all this milk stuff?
Okay, I'll give you the bottom line from a vegetarian perspective. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got that?
Yes, I'm listening. I am a vegetarian too now. So I mean, you may have a different perspective, but we're talking the same language.
Right. You're doing the right thing with the almond milk because I'm doing that too. Milk is cow's milk.
Yes.
It's for baby cows. It's not for people. We can drink it, but it's not for people.
Tom, you're not wrong. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, that we do drink it. People do drink it, but it's for their calves. Yeah.
There are other sources of calcium, probably better.
Tucker, you're taking notes on this?
Almond milk for baby almonds?
No, it's for us. We made it out of almonds. Tom, we appreciate it. Tucker, you mentioned you were
worried. I really got him on that one.
He thought it was funny. You worried about your bone density?
Here's the thing. The calcium doesn't affect me. I think eventually, like, you max out.
I think that happens.
Yeah, like,
I think I'm not a
I've only ever broken one bone in my body. I can attribute that to my milk drinking.
Wait a second. I've only broken one bone in my body, and I stopped drinking milk 2.5 decades ago.
What bone did you break?
I broke my ankle.
Oh.
It hurt. What'd you break?
My tailbone.
You broke your tailbone?
I broke my coccyx is the medical term.
What did you do?
I landed on my butt playing basketball.
It
took me like 3 weeks to learn that I actually broke it.
Oh, I was playing basketball as well, and it took me 4 seconds to realize I broke it when I heard a snap, and then I couldn't stand.
Well, I stood up, like I was woozy, and I thought I hit my head.
But it was just your tailbone. Actually, I've playing sports, I think it was football this happened. I bruised my tailbone. It hurts.
Like, I thought it was bruised.
Yeah.
So I didn't think anything of it. And like, I kept going to baseball practice and doing stuff normally. But by the end of 2 weeks, I couldn't get up from a sitting position. Like, to get out of my car, I had to turn myself completely sideways and pull myself up by my arms. It hurts so bad.
Yeah, that sounds painful. 215-592-9494 as we talk bone density and milk. Look, if you just hopped in the car, Tucker claims he drinks 3 gallons of milk per week. Most of the audience so far is, I would say, taken aback is the right way to put this. Everyone seems to be taken aback by this. Our first caller on the subject gave us some dairy truth. Let's talk to Scott, who's up talking milk. What's up, Scott?
Hey there. Hey, and don't cut me off, please. I'm going to do a quick milk thing, but I want to do a comparison of Carson and MJ.
Okay.
But anyway, you're supposed to drink a lot of you're supposed to drink 15 point a man is supposed to drink 15.5 cups of water a day. That is the recommended amount of water you should take to have your body function properly. He likes milk. So 16 cups is a gallon, okay? So if he's doing that, that you're technically drinking close to a gallon. You're supposed to drink a gallon of water a day to keep your body healthy. So what he's doing, I mean, it is milk. And, you know, obviously he's not lactose intolerant.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to be in the same studio with him. But anyway, so it's okay. And, you know, milk's great with cake and other things like that. So he's really not doing anything. And if he's doing 2% milk, personally, I grew up, I'm just turned 70. I grew up on the main line in Lower Marion Township. And we used to get the milk, and the milk had the cream on the top. And so I always get up early, get down there early so I could take that cream and put on my cereal.
Oh, that's so awesome. When I was a kid, I drank milk. I had it in my cereal. I loved it. I mean, it was enjoyable. I just don't know many people, adults that drink as much milk as Tucker. It just seems excessive.
It's a liquid. It's a whole lot better than probably drinking a Coca-Cola or something. But anyway, getting to sports, one of the things you guys don't do, and I'm always, it's just like always waiting for the off season in sports and seeing what trades are made and everything. You always want to hear what players are doing. And it was interesting. We heard more than possibly normal when Carson got talking about things. And it sounds like he's really done a lot to beef himself up. And it was funny, I was going to mention Lambeer as one of the really tough guys in sports. And one of the reasons the Detroit ended up taking it to Chicago for quite some time, and that was because Michael was a young kid, and he was very talented and quick and everything, but he wasn't a man and in a man's body. And the off season after the last time they lost to Detroit, he had the whole team work out intensely. And when they came back, there wasn't any knocking Michael around. I'm hoping that is what we're going to see in Carson. And it's funny, I know you mentioned polls. I went from Harrington to University of Arizona. It was quite a culture shock. But, Foles played at Arizona.
Sure.
And I was elated. I couldn't have been happier with the Super Bowl. But it was sort of the perfect storm. Everything came together. And, I was sad to see him go. We were sort of caught there in what to do. And I think what you suggested in getting all the draft choices makes sense. But I think we're going to really be surprised with this Eagles team. That's the difference between the Eagles and the Sixers. The Eagles have leaders. The Sixers don't have leaders. And, you go back to the Moses Doc. I mean, Doc and I are contemporaries. Maurice Cheeks, Bobby Jones, all those people. There was that leadership there. And that is what's missing. And actually, I think we lost some players in the last few years that had that sort of extra spark. But, I hate to say it. I don't know anything against Brett Brown, but what they're doing in Miami and they've done for the last 25 years is it's really hard driving Pat Riley, pushing those guys.
And you're right, Scotty, you're right. And Spoelstra's very good as well. I wish Brett was as good as Spoelstra. It's a good call, and I appreciate it. I hadn't thought about that aspect of the Carson thing, and I appreciate your call, Scott. 215-592-9494. I have some thoughts on Carson Wentz. Whatever word you want to use, putting on some weight, putting on some muscle this offseason. He looks significantly bigger when he arrived to camp. I do think Scott could be onto something about how that could help him, the strength he had, his strength could help Carson. But I do have one concern about it. It's kind of the opposite of what he said he wanted to do last year, and I think primarily worked for him. I'll hit on that next. 215-592-9494. My frustration, here's how I'd rank it. Number one Sixers, number two Phillies right now. Tough guys in sports. 27 years ago, we had Nolan Ryan putting Robert Ventura in a headlock during a brawl. And Tucker Bagley claims he drinks 3 gallons of milk per week, which I am taken aback with, but you may think is normal. I need your take on this.
Would find it impressive.
I don't know if that's the word. Impressive.
I mean, some people can't even consume dairy, Joe.
Yeah,
I do it as a sport.
Yeah, but it's not a sport. It's not. That's the thing. 215-592-9494. Is this as weird as I'm making it out to be, or am I being unfair to Tucker, the dairy consumer? 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.